Amen. We were in class the other day, and of course, you know, it's time to start all the projects, all the, you know, holiday projects and Christmas projects in the classroom and all that kind of stuff. And it was kind of like, where did November go? And here we are, and it's December already. Hallelujah. And so I said, well, it's a sign that it's a pretty good year when you say, hey, it's December already. Because I have had those years when I say, is it only September? Is it only December? You know, those kind of things. But it's all good. It's all good. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be here today. I'm thankful to be celebrating with you. And again, we welcome you to join us for our dinner today. If you know somebody who needs a dinner today, invite them. You still have time. They still have time to get here. We won't be picking up the chicken for a little bit. And I'm sure we'll have plenty. But I want to start out, and I like to take the whole month of December, if possible, and just share the Christmas story the whole month of December. I don't like to wait till, you know, the Sunday before Christmas to share it, because there's just way too much in the story. And it's just one of my favorite times of the year. It's my favorite story to tell. I love all the components of the Christmas story. And I tell Dan that my challenge every year is to do a different spin on the same story. Like, you can only tell the story so many ways, right? From so many different directions and perspectives. And you know, last year we shared in a series out of Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now, Prophet Isaiah prophesied that way before he ever saw the fulfillment of those things come to pass. And I don't think we realize, I mean, I'm talking hundreds of years when Isaiah began to prophesy things like, "For unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given." And he began to prophesy crazy things like, "A virgin's going to conceive and bear a child, and his name is going to be called Emmanuel, God with us." There's going to be a season that's going to come that the prophet began to prophesy and say, it's not just going to be a God who is far away or a God who is way off, but a God who literally is a God with us, in us, through us, and to us. Can you say amen this morning? A touchable, tangible God. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for a God that I don't just have to go to a tabernacle somewhere and meet up with a priest who can take me so far into the presence of God. But how many know, under the old covenant and under the tabernacle of Moses, you could bring your sacrifice and you could come in so far, but only the high priest could go into the holy place and the most holy place to experience the presence of God. But a prophet began to prophesy, but there's a day that will come that a child will be born and a son will be given, and he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. How many of you in here this morning can say you've experienced the Emmanuel God, the God with us, the God in us, the God to us, the God through us, the God that you can feel, that you can experience, and that you can know? I don't know about you this morning, but I felt the power of the Holy Spirit in this house moving. I felt the touchable, tangible God in here today. Hallelujah. And so he began to prophesy. And so we did a series last year on the different names of God. Wonderful God, the Counselor God, the Prince of Peace God, the Everlasting Father. We did a series on all of those kind of things, all of the names of God. How many know he's Jehovah God? He's Yahweh. He is the provider. There's so many names of God. It's not different gods. It's just different person, just different aspects of the person of Jesus Christ and the person God. And so this morning I want to start a little bit. I think I'm going to kind of do a little bit of a series this year on a series called Faith Over Fear. Say that with me. Faith Over Fear. Go ahead and bring up Galatians 4:4-5. One of the common factors that runs through the Christmas story, that when the angel begins to come to those, now understand, it's been prophesied for hundreds of years that this is going to take place. Out of Bethlehem, a Savior is going to be born. For unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. How many know they prophesied it in the days of old that it would come to pass? And I love that story because there are so many times in our life, I believe, that we feel like God has spoken things over our life or to us or through us. And we think, God, how long? How long until those things come to pass? And probably in Isaiah's day, he was probably considered a false prophet, because he did not see the culmination of the prophecy that he prophesied. I believe there's some things that will be spoken and that will be prophesied and that will be declared that I might not see in my season, but I'm still going to prophesy it. I'm still going to declare it. I'm still going to preach it. There's sometimes some things that God will say to you, and they might seem like crazy things, and you might not see the completion or the fulfillment of what it is, but don't give it up. Yep. Hang on. Because in the fullness of time, Galatians 4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, somebody say fullness of time. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Hallelujah. When the fullness of time had come. One more. Is there one more? Maybe not. And they were... Nope. I got it here. To redeem them who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Now the scripture says you are sons. Hello, sons. Men and women, we are the seed of God, children of God. And God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. Not just in a tabernacle, not just in a temple, but into your hearts. The indwelling Emmanuel God. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father, or Papa God. If you've ever been blessed to have a good earthly father, you know what a honor it is to be able to say, Papa, Abba. And if we've not, then sometimes we've had a distorted view of what a papa or a father should be. Amen? And so we have the experience and the hope of what the scripture says, that we have a father or a papa God that we can cry out to, and we receive that spirit of adoption and know that we belong to him. Papa God. And therefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now I started out by saying I want to share with you today faith over fear. Because from the time of the end of the books of the Old Testament, there's about a 400 year period where God's not really saying anything. There's no prophetic voice. There's no prophecies of Jeremiah, Isaiah, there's nothing recorded. There's what we call the dark season. There's a long season where it seems like God's not saying anything. Have you ever been in one of those seasons where it seems like, God, where are you? I need to hear from you. I need to hear from the heavens. I need to know what you're declaring. Every one of us have been in a season like in that in our life. And sometimes those are the hardest seasons to walk through. Those are the times when you have to depend in the darkness on what he spoke to you in the light. Because just because a dark season might seem like it's upon you, or seems like you're not hearing anything, or it seems like, God, where are you, doesn't make God's promises void, doesn't make them any less effective in your life. It just seems like sometimes things are on pause. pause is a hard place to be in. Amen? It's a hard place to be in sometime. And so we begin to see then where we come into the New Testament and we start to hear the proclamation when an angel begins to show up and starts to speak. Now, let me say, if you've been 400 years without hearing the prophetic voice of the Lord in the land and all of a sudden an angel shows up, it's a good day. Because, see, when you need to hear from God, 400 years is a long time. But when you really need to hear from God, 4 minutes sometime is a long time. 4 hours is a long time. 4 days is a long time. But 400 years is a really long time to wait to hear, God, what are you saying? What is the heavens declaring? And what do you want to speak in this season? Faith over fear. Psalms 56 and 3. Did I give you that one? It says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. I didn't give her all these, so that's on me, not on her. Joshua 1 and 9 says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. How many know when Joshua is getting ready to cross over the Jordan with the multitude of people that Moses is leading, the scripture starts out in Joshua and says, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. The way we did things before has come to an end. And I'm about to honor you in front of the people, and I'm going to take you across the Jordan, and I'm going to take you into the promised land. How many know Joshua was in transition? He was following one of the greatest leaders of all time, Moses, who led the great Exodus out of Egypt and led them across the Red Sea and brought them through the times of manna and quail and water from the rock and all of the great things that God showed to them. But how many know that season had come to an end? And God was about to raise up a Joshua who was going to take them over into a promised land and lead them into the land that God had promised. But it would be done not when Joshua gets ready to cross over to Jordan, he crosses over with a mercy seat. How many of you know this morning that Moses never had the mercy seat when they crossed the Red Sea? He had a rod, and Moses ruled with a rod, the staff, the rod. But when Joshua got ready to cross in, he crossed over with a mercy seat. He said, when you see the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant, step into the Jordan. He said, I'm going to roll the waters all the way back to the city of Adam, and you're going to walk across on dry ground. And when you do, pick up a rock out of the Jordan on your way over and build a memorial or a monument on the other side, because your generations are going to say, Mama, Papa, Granddad, Grandma, Nana, what does that pile of rocks mean? And you're going to say, that's the day that God brought us across the Jordan on dry ground and led us into the land of promise. How many of you remember the day when God brought you out of the wilderness and brought you over into a land that flowed with milk and honey? I'm talking about your exodus out of Egypt and out of sin and out of despair. And God brought you over into a new land and a new day. Hallelujah. And fresh start. I remember those times and I remember that day. How many know there's a pile of rocks? Not in the natural. And how many know every time sometimes that God does a memorial in your life or God does a deliverance in your life, you need to reach down and pick up a rock and say, I'm going to pile that on the rock. I'm going to pile that on the pile because that's a reminder of the healing that God brought to my body. That's a reminder of the salvation that God brought to my body. That's a reminder of my house that was restored. That's a reminder of the goodness of God in my life. Hallelujah. But before he tells Joshua to cross over, he said, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, and don't be discouraged. How many know sometimes when God begins to speak to you, you can be fearful? Anybody ever been fearful about stepping into the next level or the next dimension of God, what God wants to do in your life? You know, we think about, you know, all the great things. God, what do you want to do with my life? And do you remember the song... Was it Scott Wesley Brown saying, please don't send me to Africa? you know, Lord, give me a beach ministry in Hawaii, but please don't send me to Africa, right? You know, and he does kind of a comedy song, but we sometimes say, Lord, I want your will in my life as long as your will doesn't shake up the apple tree. As long as it doesn't get me out of my comfort zone, as long as it doesn't change my plans, my purpose, my destination, I want your will. Now, how many know sometimes his will is not our will? How many are thankful sometimes for unanswered prayers? I prayed some prayers and then times later said, thank you, Jesus, that you did not follow that one through. That you were bigger and wiser and smarter and stronger than I was. Because what I could see at the time wasn't the big picture. Aren't you thankful that God sees the big picture? God sees the end from the beginning. He sees potential. He sees purpose. And he surprises me all the time. Because I'll just say, Lord, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that coming. But how many times in our life, whether it be the next step, the next goal, the next purpose, the next calling, whatever it is, God is moving in you. And maybe it's just you're in an area, in a season in your life that's just, you know, you're in a fearful season and saying, Lord, where from here? How do I go from here and how do I navigate what you're speaking to me right here and right now in my life that my faith can be more powerful than my fears? See, because fear can be crippling. See, fear is powerful. Fear is necessary. Do you know that? Fear is a necessary thing. It's what makes you run from the bear. It's what makes you jump out of the way of the truck that's coming. It's what makes you duck. Right? Fear is necessary and it's powerful. But it should not be controlling. See, there's times in your life where fear can be put to good use. But there's also those times where fear can be crippling and overwhelming and where it just sweeps over you and you think, Lord, I don't know where to go from here. I had a dream the other night. And I don't normally dream bad dreams. And I had a bad dream. And when I woke up, it left me feeling yuck. You know, I was like, oh, and what it was doing was stirred up some anxiety that I already have. Anybody ever had anxiety or is it just me? And am I in the house by myself today? And sometimes you start to worry about things and it gets in your mind. And then before you know it follows you in your sleep and in your dreams, right? And so when I woke up, I had that feeling and I thought, nope, I'm not going to go there. And so I prayed over it and I prayed my own. Whenever that happens to me, I just pray myself back to sleep. And if that don't work, then I just start praying for all you all. Now, don't anybody wish me that I don't get to sleep so I can pray for you. Because I'll pray for you in the daytime, too. How about that? But I'll just start praying for people that come to my mind. And I'll just start saying, Lord, I need a healing for my friend. I need touch for this. And the Lord will just take me right back to sleep in my prayers. So fear is not comfortable. Fear is not desirable. But in the scripture that talks about, in Timothy, it says, for God has not given us what? The spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I don't know about you, but that one is in my memoir. I can write it on my hand. I can put it in my refrigerator. I can put it a slip in my lunchbox because it's a scripture I live by. When fear comes, this is not of God. For God hath not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How many know what happens with fear is you got to change your way of thinking? Anybody in here ever been afraid of the dark? Now, you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to, but I've been afraid of the dark sometimes. I am the world's worst hide and seek person. We used to play hide and go seek over there in the house. Andy lives in the home place over there, and we had that big yard, and we play hide and go seek. I can stay there for about 3 seconds, and then I'm all in for ollie ollie outs in free, or however you say that, because I can't do it. I'm like, I can't do it. I got to get to, you know, out of the, I don't like the darkness. I like the light, right? And so all of us has probably experienced fear in our life at some point in some season. But the scripture I love says God has not given us that spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So sometimes I got to say, Lord, I may not feel powerful, but you're powerful. I may not feel love, but you're love. I might not have a sound mind right now, but you have a sound mind. Amen. And so I have to allow him to change my thought process. But when God began to speak what he was about to do, when the fullness of time had come, in other words, he's saying in Galatians, ladies and gentlemen, this is the moment we've been waiting for. It is the time of the Messiah. It is the season of hope where the heavens are going to declare what God is about to do in the earth. Him who was born of a woman, made under the law, came that he could redeem us from the curse of the law. How many know you don't live under a curse today? I don't care what anybody's told you. You do not live under a curse. You do not live under a generational curse. But you live under the love of Jesus, which is power and love and a sound mind. Some days I got to say, Lord, today I need your sound mind. I need clear thinking. I need to refocus. I need to redirect my thought process, my mind. I mean, no fear will have torment. But the common factor in all these stories is they all begin with fear, but they end in faith. Faith over fear. I want to be more afraid or more fearful of missing an opportunity or a dream fulfilled than I am having a fear of failure. Now, I want to say that again. I want to be more afraid in my life, more fearful of missing an opportunity or a dream fulfilled than I am the fear of failure. Do you know that most things that don't happen is because we have a fear of failure? What if it doesn't work? What if it's a big flop? What if it doesn't happen? Well, what if it's not? What if it works? What if it is a divine thought? Somebody's got to have the thought first. They just landed a module on Mars. Did you see that this week? They landed a module on Mars. Somebody got up one day and said, I think we can get to Mars. Now, it wasn't me, because I don't have any idea how you get to Mars. But somebody had to have more of fear of missing an opportunity than they did of fear of failure. And guess what? My guess is probably it failed quite a few times before it ever landed on Mars. Orville and Wilbur had failure before they ever had success. Colonel Sanders had failure before he ever had success. Abraham Lincoln had failure before he ever had success. How many are thankful this morning that Colonel Sanders did not give up, but he pursued and he persisted and he followed the calling? Hallelujah. My dad loved Colonel Sanders. He loved Kentucky Fried Chicken. He'd say, I got to stop in, because if he knows I'm in town and I don't stop in, he's going to be really disappointed. Yeah. Hallelujah. And I'm messing with you this morning, but how many know we can stay in a place where it says, this might not work. Or we can stay in a place and say, it might. It just might. This just might be the fullness of time. This might be a Kairos moment. This might be the moment that we've all been waiting for in every one of our individual lives, where God shows up on the scene and says, Lisa, I'm going to do something out of you that you are not able to do yourself, that you didn't see coming. But by the grace of God, I'm going to do what I said that I would do. Hallelujah. Because the prophet who prophesied it 100 years ago said, I might not have seen it, but I'm not going to let it go until I hear the fulfillment of the prophecy. So I want you to come with me this morning to Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 5. One of my favorite scriptures of the Christmas story, and yet most people don't hear this part of the Christmas story. But to me, you can't preach the rest of it until you preach the beginning, right? So in Luke chapter 1, verse 5 is where I'm going to start. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless, and they had no child. Everybody say barren. Because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell on him. He was, another translation says, he was afraid. He was troubled, and fear took over. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zachariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Now we have Zechariah, who is in the temple. He is in the holy place. If you know anything about the tabernacle of Moses, you know there was an outer court. That's where the sacrifices were. But only the priests could go into the holy place, and only the high priest could go into the most holy place. So Zechariah is in the holy place. He gets one chance in a lifetime to offer the incense in the temple of the people, and it was his straw was picked. His number came up. And so while he's in there offering incense, the scripture says the angel of the Lord comes and stands beside him to the side of the altar in incense and begins to greet Zechariah. Now, you know, I already told you that only the priests are supposed to be in there. So it's not uncommon that Zechariah is going to be a little bit startled when he looks over and I'm not alone. There's somebody else in with me. And then all of a sudden, this angel starts to say some crazy things. And God begins to speak. And he said, Zechariah, your prayers have been answered. Now, if I was to ask you this morning, and I said that to you, your prayers have been answered, would you know which prayer I was talking about? Anybody got more than one prayer in right now? Like, I got more than one prayer on hold waiting. Am I by myself in the room today? Because I got some things that I'm petitioning God for. I'm crying out for God. I want to see these things come to pass. Anybody else in here? So if the angel was to show up to me today and say, Lisa, your prayers have been answered or your prayers have been heard, I'd say, well, thank you, Jesus. Which ones? Which one are we working on today? Was it the prayer for Elizabeth? The wife who had been barren that he had prayed for, but yet it seemed like nothing had come to pass. What is it? Prayers for the people who were waiting out in the outer courts. And there said the people were outside. They were praying while the incense was being offered in the temple. How many know there's a lot of prayers going up at the time? What prayer exactly was it? Or was it the prayer, God, fulfill your promise and your prophecy by the prophet Isaiah and bring to us that child that's to be born and that son is to be given? Because how many know the answer to what they were crying out for and the prayers that were being offered was, God, save us now. God, deliver your people. God, fulfill your promise of the Emmanuel God that would come, the God with us. And so as he stood there crying or praying, and he said, your prayers have been answered. And he says, and your wife Elizabeth, who is barren, she's about to conceive and bear a child. And the scripture says that Zechariah began to question the angel and said, how is this going to be? How in the world could this ever come to pass? How is this going to happen? And the scripture tells us that Zechariah is speechless because he said, because you questioned, you're not going to be able to speak until this thing comes to pass. Now, let everybody be honest. How many in the room wouldn't have anything to say for the next few days? Because I don't know about you, but I've asked God some questions before. I've had some doubt before. I've not understood how God was going to bring things to pass. And if God smote me with dumbness, every time I doubted, it'd be very quiet around my house. People say to me all the time, I know you shouldn't question God. I said, why not? The scripture really doesn't say that you're not supposed to question God. Because I believe if he's your papa, Abba God, you can ask. You might not always get the answer you want. You might not always get the answer, but you can ask. He said, you have not because you ask not. And there's some things that I'll never understand. There's some things I'll never know the answer to, but I can ask. But scripture says, but because he questioned, he was not able to speak until those things came to pass. Now, I think sometimes we look at that and think, well, gosh, God smote him and made him speechless in punishment because he questioned God. I don't think that's the case. Here's what I think happened. He said, Zechariah, you're not going to be able to speak until these things come to pass. Because I'm not going to let you talk yourself out of it or talk anybody else out of the promises. I'm just going to make you silent until you see a performance of those things. Can I tell you this morning, sometimes the best thing you can do is just be silent before God and let him speak. My grandmother used to sing a song that said, be still and know that I am God. See, sometimes I talk so fast and so much that God don't have a chance to get anything in there for me talking. Sometimes you got to stop talking long enough for God to speak to you. Speak back. Right? The problem is sometimes we go to him and tell him what we want and how we want him to do it. And then we put a period at the end of the sentence when God's saying, sometimes you just need to be silent and allow me to do what I'm about to do. I think there probably is something about Zechariah who said, me? Who, me? You picked me to be the priest that you would send an angel to and begin to declare such marvelous, wonderful things that are about to happen. Can I tell you this morning, every one of you are candidates for God to do the miraculous in your life. He may just show up right in the middle of your daily activities and begin to challenge you in your spirit as to what he wants to do in you and in your life. And sometimes the best thing you can do is just say, be it unto me, Lord. But he begins to declare things and said, in this season of your life, I'm going to make what seemed like it was barren become fruitful. I'm going to make it seem like those things that were dead are going to come alive. I'm going to bring to pass out of your emptiness fruitfulness. out of your empty. I'm going to make you full. You know, sometimes we've got to just trust God through the barren seasons of our life for him to step in the middle of it and say, there's no way because this could be anything but a God thing. Because there's sometimes when God does things in our life, you know it's not man's power, it's not man's ability, it is nothing but a God thing that God begins to do the miraculous. And so at the time that at the end comes to the end, but he says to him, don't be afraid. I'm the angel Gabriel. I'm sent from God. Heaven is making you a visitation. Heaven is making a visitation. How many of you are in here today are ready for heaven to make a visitation? Amen or oh me? Amen or oh me? Because see, what happens is when they said, yeah, Lord, we want your will, it didn't come in the season they thought it would come in. But in the fullness of time, when the fullness of time had come, in the right season of your life, God will bring to pass the fruitfulness and the bounty of what he wants to do. And so there they stand, and he says to the angel all the reasons why this can't be. Do you ever try to talk God out of things? Well, this can't be. I'm an old man. And my wife is well stricken in years. She's beyond the age of childbearing. As a matter of fact, she's not even getting the visitor each month. I'm trying to be politically correct. But you have to understand how this goes, right? And so Zechariah goes back home to the house of Elizabeth. And now he can't talk. He can't speak. He can't articulate what's happening in here and in here. He can't declare. He can't articulate what God is saying. Have you ever felt like God was stirring your heart or stirring your spirit, but you couldn't really put it into words, what he wanted to say or what he wanted to do or what he wanted to accomplish? And so he goes back home and God has stirred his spirit, but I can't talk. I can't speak. And somehow he's got to let Miss Elizabeth know, we're about to have a baby. Cue me. And she says, crazy old man. Right? Come on, because we look at this sometimes and we think, oh, these great saints of the Bible, you know, they just glowed in the dark and God chose them. I mean, they were ordinary people like you and I. Ordinary passions. Because God takes ordinary and he makes it extraordinary. And he goes home and he tries to tell her. Now, how many know there's some things that you can't articulate, you've got to demonstrate. You have got to just act on it. You've got to just make it happen. You know, we shared the other week about the man who had the 10 lepers. Remember the men who had 10 lepers? And the scripture says they cried out to him and said, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he simply said, go show yourself to the priest. But he said, as they went, they began to realize that their spots were healed and that they were made whole. See, we can get a word from the Lord, but if we don't activate it, if we don't step into it, if we don't hold on to it, if we don't believe it, then we'll sit around with a word, hoping, waiting, thinking, but never acting on what God spoke. So he went home to Elizabeth when the days were accomplished. And the scripture said she conceived and hid herself for 5 months. And I always thought, why would you hide yourself? You waited your whole life for this to happen. But here's the deal. If you're not careful in those 5 months, somebody will talk you out of the seed of God that's been planted in you. Somebody will talk you out of your promise. They might not understand what God's doing inside of you. Because when God starts to do something holy inside of you, when God starts to tug on your heart, when God starts to change you from the inside out, they might not understand your journey. And so she hid herself, I believe, so as that the other people could not talk her out of it. Because there's no ultrasound. There's no little test you buy at the drugstore. I just got to believe God in this. I got to trust God in this. Hallelujah. Until God would send a young virgin to her house. And we'll deal with Mary soon. And I don't want to get on that today. But how many know the angel comes and visits Mary? And one of the first things he says to Mary is, fear not. Faith over fear. Don't let fear rob you of what God wants to do and perform in your heart and in your life. Right? And so he begins to tell Mary, Mary, you're highly favored. The Lord is with you. And he begins to say, you're going to conceive and bear a son. You're going to call his name Jesus. And she says, how could this be? I don't know a man. And he said, this thing that's done in you is going to be done of the Holy Scripture. And then he throws a little line in there. And I never really thought about it until years later. But he says, and your cousin Elizabeth, she's with child as well. See, here's the deal. If God can do a miracle in Elizabeth and he can bring to pass that promise in her, then I'm going to connect with somebody who's feeling the same kind of stirring, who's hearing the same kind of word, who dares to believe for the impossible. I'm going to connect with them, because if God is saying it to them and he's saying it to me, then it just might come to pass. And the scripture said that when Mary rides up and Elizabeth is in the house and she hears the sound of the salutation of Mary's voice, there's something about the salutation of our voice when we come together in the assembly and we begin to declare the things of the Lord and what God is speaking and what he is saying and what he is doing. And when we come together, the scripture said, and Elizabeth said, at the sound of your salutation, I felt my baby leap. Something leaped inside my womb and would have been about her 6 month, about the time that that baby begins to move and to kick. And if I ever doubted it up for 5 months that I was pregnant, all of a sudden I felt it from the inside out. And let me tell you, folks, once you feel it from the inside out, nobody's going to talk you out of your miracle. Nobody's going to talk you out what God said. Nobody's going to change your mind, because now I've felt that baby move and my promise will be fulfilled. You got to connect with somebody who will believe with you. If you're having doubt, don't go connect with a doubter. If you're having fear, don't go connect with someone who's fearful. If you're afraid, don't go hang out with people who are afraid. Go hang out with somebody who can encourage you, who can speak life over you, who can say, hey, I'm feeling the same things inside my being. God is about to do something big in the fullness of time. God has chosen us as willing vessels to perform his will in and through us. And they said, you're going to call his name John. And the name John means grace. Do you know this morning that God was about to birth the age of grace upon all mankind? No more were we bound by the legalistic things of the law, but now we're governed by grace and governed by the law of love in Christ Jesus. God was about to birth grace into a season that was taxing times. And all the world was being taxed. God began to speak and made a visitation to a priest named Zechariah and said, I'm going to birth something out of you that you thought was dead, that you thought was barren, that you thought was hopeless, and you thought was lost. For God has heard your prayers. And I choose today to live in faith over fear. I choose to believe the report of the Lord over the report of anybody else. And in my times when I might question what God is doing, I'm going to connect with somebody who can make my baby leap. I'm going to connect with somebody who makes something come alive inside of me, so that if I had hid myself for 5 months wondering, am I pregnant? Am I going to really bear a son? Could this thing really be? All of a sudden, I felt it from the inside out. And once you feel and encounter the presence of the Lord from the inside out, nobody can talk you out of what he wants to do in you. Hallelujah. You might be sitting here today saying, God, I need to feel something move inside of me. I need to feel life inside of me again. Hallelujah. That's what the seed of God planted in your heart will do, will cause life to spring out of death and life to spring out of barrenness. What seemed like it was impossible with man is possible with God. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Faith over fear. Everyone in the story that God sent an angel to, or when the angel appeared to them, the message that he came to say was, fear not. Zechariah, don't be afraid, because fear will cripple you and keep you from receiving the promise of God. Joseph, fear not to take Mary as thy wife. Mary, fear not, for that thing which is born of you shall be born of the Holy Spirit. And to the shepherds on the hillside, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I choose faith over fear. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're fearful today, if whatever you're facing, hallelujah, has got you speechless or has got you constrained, I want to tell you this morning, God hears your prayers. God hears your prayers. He wants to make something come alive inside of you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want a couple of you men, if you would, walk over and lay hands on Blaine today. And we're just going to declare the word of the Lord over his life, over his body, and over his health in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.